In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Kevin cannot get out of the bathtub this week. Don't know why. We tried. We sent the firefighters over, so he might join us later. He may not. But welcome to episode 181. What we do got with us is the fabulous intern.
Hello.
Miss you, intern. How have you been?
I've been fine.
I don't know what happened to Kevin. I think he got stuck in the tub again. We better call the firefighters.
Well, maybe he's doing something.
Yeah, in the tub.
No.
I think he's in the tub watching movies.
I don't think so. Hey, he might be watching movies.
Oh, well. Do you see anything, intern?
I did. I saw a ghost in a shell.
I saw a shell of a movie.
If that's a shell of a movie?
I think that's the
one. I think if we combine the two, I think we've got Ghost in the Shell.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Do you know who's in that movie?
Yes, I do, actually. I happen to have it right here. It was directed by Rupert Sanders. Rupert Sanders. Too many nachos. And it starred Scarlett Johansson, Juliette Binoche, Pilou Asbakik, Takeshi Kitano, Michael Pitt, Chin Han, Don Lucia, Samuel, this is why I don't read the names, Lazarus Retur, Yataka Isumhara, and many more that I can't pronounce.
Well, that sucks.
I know.
I can't pronounce them either.
So but I tried.
I'm not going to even try.
I tried.
You're doing well.
Okay. Now, how did you feel about this movie?
Oh, you're putting me first.
Yes, I am.
I don't even know. I mean, I watched the original anime one when it came out and really liked it.
Oh.
This one I felt was lacking most of the time. Like, I felt it looked nice.
Yes.
I thought it had very great art direction.
Yeah.
I thought Scarlett Johansson was totally miscast. 100%.
No, we're sort of disagreeing on that, but I'll let you finish.
Well, she's supposed to be a Japanese character. And
true.
She's a white person, and everybody else is Japanese in the movie. And, what's her name? That scientist was a little miscast.
Juliette Binoche.
Shouldn't have even been there, because she's not even on the show. So she knew she was going to die, because she was expendable.
Mm.
I had a lot of problems with this film. I thought it made no sense. Very choppy.
Oh.
And the story was just kind of dumb.
Okay.
I love the action scenes. I thought the action scenes
were
very well
scenes
done.
Were good.
Very stylized. Like I said, it worked in this world, all that action. But I just got bored getting there. Just like, okay, got there. A great action scene. Let's go back to some sleepy dialogue. Another good action scene. Sleepy dialogue. You?
I happen to like the sleepy dialogue, plus the action scenes. I liked where... I
liked so you're like, munch, 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 this is great, stop for the action scene, munch, munch, munch?
No, I didn't have any... Well, maybe I did have some popcorn.
Maybe you had some Whoppers or something.
No, I didn't have any Whoppers. But I found this, like, a different way for Scarlet to go, because usually she was like, she's now known as, for the Avengers, not the Scarlet Witch. What was the character's name?
Black Widow?
That's it, Black Widow. So now I went in thinking that she'd be something like that. Whereas years ago she was in like other types of movies too, like Girl with a Pearl Earring, and she had other things. So this is sort of a departure from the Avengers movie for her. I thought she did well for the script. Maybe you'd agree with the script that she was given. But I found it like the movie itself was different for me, like, because she plays a character that, like, she's been put into a shell of a person. It's her brain, I guess, right, being put into something,
originally a Japanese woman.
Right.
Put into a white woman's body.
Okay. Her soul was put into there, basically.
No, the brain.
Brain.
I guess
the
brain or the soul.
Because she still feels like she knows she's part of something else, but she can't remember.
Yes.
But because they put her on drugs so she wouldn't remember.
Right. And then the guy told her to stop taking the drugs, so she did remember.
Yeah. I just found it like she integrated herself into computers, like, though she became like a 10101010.
But she is a computer.
Right.
She's an android. Yeah. Or a cyborg.
I just found it interesting for some reason, because it was different for me. I found it interesting.
But is the problem here, Scarlett Johansson is not an actress?
She's not an actress?
She's pretty to look at.
She's not an actress?
No.
Then why is she here?
She's just sort of there. She's not good at her craft.
She's never going to get an Oscar. No, not for Avengers. Wasn't she nominated for Girl with a Pearl Earring? Was she not? Maybe?
Yeah.
There you go.
I guess so. Hold on one second.
That's a nice one.
Well, you could have been eating Doritos or something, or watching the DVD and electrocuted yourself. I was just worried.
Yeah, okay.
So, my question is to Bob, does Scarlett Johansson have acting ability? Because, I mean, yeah. Ghost in the Shell was kind of eh. That weird science fiction movie was eh. The Avengers, they just show me her butt all the time. Like Lost in Translation, Girl with Pearl Earring, and that's really about it for acting.
I would say Scarlett Johansson does a lot of paycheck movies.
So that's what we were talking about, yeah. Which is fine. You're more than welcome to get a paycheck. Do a good job, though.
Yeah, I have no issues with her acting. It's generally the material.
That's what I'm thinking more than anything else.
I mean, I liked her in Avengers, and I liked her in Iron Man, and I liked her in Ghost World, which was her first movie.
Love Ghost World. I think that's a great underrated film that most people have not seen or heard of.
Yeah, I mean, there are films that she's been good in. Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Oh, you know what? You're right. That was good material, though. So what we're saying is she can't rise above the material?
Well, she's attractive, so sometimes that's all that really matters, I guess. If you just need an attractive lead in a science fiction role, what's the one where she's basically naked enticing men into black ink?
Skin Inside, I saw it last year and I didn't like it.
Under the Skin, yeah.
Under the Skin.
Not a great film at all, and she's not very good in it, but she's pretty, I guess. And that's pretty. And Scarlett Johansson is the perfect example of an actress that takes on jobs and will often fulfill a male fantasy role.
Yes.
And doesn't seem to have an issue with doing that.
Oh, at least she knows her role.
Well, I don't like that phrase, know your role. I think she knows what she's willing to take a dollar and play the exploitation part and just has fun with it. She doesn't feel that she's exploited in doing that.
I don't think she's being exploited. She's getting paid well for it.
Well, no, I mean, I think that to fulfill a male fantasy role is in a way exploiting a woman to fit what we're interested in seeing on the screen.
Okay, I can see that, but I don't go see a movie for Scarlett Johansson, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
No, I can't say I have ever been to a movie for Scarlett Johansson, but...
Okay.
But she has been in a lot of movies that I've enjoyed. Okay. Like the Marvel Universe ones. So, and in a lot of ways, Black Widow is like Scarlett Johansson's. Black Widow fulfills a role. She has a part to play in manipulating people to believe certain things and do certain things.
Okay. I believe you. Oh, moving on. Teen Titans.
Well, what did you guys think of this movie?
Oh,
we're sort of split down the middle.
Bob liked it. I thought it was very whitewashed with her. I didn't think she worked as the lead. I liked the set design, art direction. Action scenes were excellent. But it was just more like, let's get to the action scene, phenomenal, munch, 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 eat some popcorn, stare off into space, get back for the action scene.
Uh-huh.
That's the way I felt about it. I didn't hate it, I just didn't love it.
Okay. All right, well, the next movie on our list I see is Teen Titans, The Judas Contract.
Yeah.
Directed by Sam Liu, stars the voices of Stuart Allen, Tasia Farmiga, Kerry Walgren, Christina Ricci, Crispin Freeman, Jake Teat, Austin, Sean Mayer, Maria Canales Barrera, and so forth.
Ooh, great thespian voice actors here.
So this is I would say a loose adaptation of the comic series of the same age, same name.
I agree.
It's shaped more to fit in with the DC animated universe movie slate with, you know, the Justice League versus the Teen Titans and Young Justice and things like that. So it's we're presented with an opening scene which brings Starfire to Earth, which is somewhat different from her old DC Universe origins.
I can't remember that at all. I read it too long ago.
You know, essentially the gist of it is the same, is that she's being chased by Jordanians, those lizard people.
Okay.
And she's been enslaved by them. And the Titans rescue her.
Okay.
And she becomes a member. And she can learn languages by kissing people.
Lovely.
Yeah. And so now it's many years later, and she's in the sense of the leader of the Justice League for, or not the Justice League, the Teen Titans for a new generation of heroes that includes Damian Wayne and Beast Boy and so forth.
I've had enough with Damian Wayne.
Mm-hmm. And he's only mildly in this movie. This is more of a Nightwing movie.
I agree. Bob, did you see this film?
Actually, I watched it the next night right after you gave it to me. I got to see this because I'm always wanting to see the DC ones. I never read the Judas Contract comic. I must have missed that one when it was out. But I found this interesting. Like I know, like that it involves Terra, it involves Nightwing when he became Nightwing, and he was involved in that. I just found it interesting. Another story about the Teen Titans. Like the original one had Bumblebee in it, apparently. Like when they were doing it 5 years before.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I just liked it. It was like there.
Yeah, I mean the gist of the Jews contract is that Deathstroke takes on something that his son had taken on and failed at, which is destroying the Titans.
So.
And he uses Terra to infiltrate the Titans. And she's a young woman who has powers of controlling the Earth.
Right.
Yeah, and then Brother Blood, I guess, is the person who has put in the contract. Brother Blood and Hive.
Oops.
I don't know. This was okay. I didn't hate it. It was okay.
Oh. We lost Simon temporarily. We're gonna.
What happened?
He's answering a call.
Oh.
Upstairs.
Well, I thought the animation was okay.
Yeah.
And it fits in with all these other DC animated films like the Batman and the Justice right. League one. So the action was fine. I like the characters. They were fairly close to the versions that I know.
Yeah.
The action sequences were pretty good.
Yeah.
On the DVD, I thought the interviews were more interesting than the movie. They went and interviewed Marv Wolfman and George Perez, who were the creators of the original. So you're back?
Yeah, I'm back.
So I thought that was good. So what's up? What did you think of this movie?
I thought it was just okay. I didn't really ever not get into it or never really get into it, if that makes sense. I just thought it was okay. It's okay. It's watchable.
What?
What? What do you ask me? I liked it. I thought it was okay. It's watchable. Like, I would say, yeah, you could watch it.
There was a part in there that had, like, Nightwing going back over how each one of them got taken down by Deathstroke. He looked at the clues and he thought it out. Like, that's how he does it.
Well, he's trained by Batman.
Right.
Of course
but
he would.
I found that part interesting when I was watching it.
I've
never seen that in any other movie that he's done that. Like, I know he was trained by Batman. I know, but it's
but
never shown that.
But this is another movie with the Batman, when somebody takes over and reads Batman's files. Kevin might remember it. And they do this the same thing in a Batman movie.
That's Prometheus takes over Bruce Wayne's files, and they do it's called the Tower of Babel was the comic storyline.
There we go. That's when they did it. I remember them doing it that.
Yeah.
And the movie was doomed, but no, like I just found out, I just found Nightwing's portrayal to be like spot on there. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that was good. I mean, again, it's just another DC direct to video thing. I think it's okay. Not great, not bad, watchable, sure it is. You'll pick it up for your kids at Walmart, as Kevin says, for $15.99 and move on.
Yeah.
I might even pick it up.
All right, so moving on then.
Oh, this is one I've never seen.
The Fate of the Furious is directed by F. Gary Gray.
Whoops.
And it stars Vin Diesel, Dwayne Johnson, Jason Statham, Michelle Rodriguez, Charlize Theron, Tyrese Gibson, Ludacris, Kurt Russell, Scott Eastwood, Clint's son, Luke Evans, Natalie Emmanuel, Elsa Pataky, Christopher Hivju. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It's probably like Hivju. And a bunch of other folks. So just you and I, Simon, have seen this one?
I think so. I it was a comedy, right?
The Fate of the Furious is I laughed my ass off.
Oh, I thought it was funny.
I'm not a huge fan of the Furious movies, but I thought this was a hoot.
Oh, I couldn't take this seriously at any time.
No, not at all. Right from the beginning when she says, oh, have you ever thought about having a family? I started laughing. It's just, the whole setup was goofy. So Vin Diesel doesn't have any kids, and he's all about family, and he's married now to Michelle Rodriguez. And suddenly, like, Charlize Theron makes him into an evil guy, and he's doing all sorts of evil stuff, and they have to turn, like, the Rock is thrown into prison.
Hold on. Can we back up to the beginning of this film?
Yeah.
When he has a car race with the guy that has the fastest car, and he has the crappiest car? Like, really?
I love it. The car is literally falling apart, and he's still pushing it to the limit,
There's
and it
no
explodes.
No way. That would have worked. I'm sorry.
It flies out into the ocean and explodes.
I thought I was watching Herbie Goes Bananas.
I thought it was a hoot. It was just like, it was basically saying right from the beginning, don't believe any of this stuff is true. Just go with it. This is just goofy fun with cars and stunts.
I discussed more of this movie.
Yeah.
The Rock and his daughter's soccer game.
Oh, that was awesome.
Oh, my God. Hey, I'm coaching here. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
What the?
Then one guy turns and he says, wait a minute. There are more mothers here than there are kids on your team. And he's like, I don't know what that's all about.
No, my favorite is, Daddy, do I have to go to work again? No, I'm not going to work. Not working.
Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah.
And the Jason Statham baby scene is the only thing I thought was good. It was hysterical.
That was a lot. That was awesome. And he's just doing kung fu with the baby and everything.
I give that full props to Jason Statham. He got this movie.
Yeah.
He didn't try to do it seriously. He just did it.
Yeah.
And Scott Eastman is a tool.
Oh, yeah.
He just looks like he's not awake.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell acts circles around him and has already done 3 more movies by the time he realizes he's finished the scene.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm like, are you only here because you're dad? Is that why?
Yeah, you're here because you're a legacy guy.
Yeah, that's about it. Oh, God, this movie's the funniest one ever.
Yeah, no, I went to the last one and I'm like, oh, man, it's all about the guy that died and it's all brothers. And anyway, I thought it was kind of silly. This one was silly, but in a good way.
Come on, there's nothing wrong with a giant submarine chasing cars on the ice.
Oh, for sure. And the cars are beating it, and they're firing torpedoes, and the Rock opens the door and kicks the torpedo, and it turns around and kills the guys.
You can't hit a torpedo with a sub. Nope, can't kill these cars. Nope, not a chance.
No. And then, when he flies the car over the submarine... And then there's a huge explosion, and the other cars just block the explosion with the cars.
Yeah.
Save him. And I'm like, well, wouldn't they blow up?
Yes.
You know, it's just stupid. It's, you know, it's suspension of disbelief. And why is the submarine so slow? I mean, submarines are generally slow. So a car racing in front of it, the car would beat it every time. But what are they hoping to do? They're going to beat it to the mouth of the bay? To what? Are they going to, like, dive their cars underwater?
I have no idea.
nothing makes sense, but hey, why not?
And I have a question.
Survives to rule another day.
Charlize Theron does nothing this whole movie. It sits in the computer.
Right, she's just the same thing. I have your son. I'm going to kill your son.
I love the zombie car scene. I thought that was good.
Oh, that was really good. Yeah, with the cars falling out of the parking lot and garages.
This is my nomination for Best Comedy at the Golden Globes. 100% Best Comedy of the Year.
Well, I don't know. That's hard to say because our next one was pretty damn funny.
Yeah, I like this one, the last one better, but we can get into the next one.
Do you want to finish talking about Fate of the Furious?
I think everybody should see it and just take a big bottle of popcorn and forget what you're watching.
Yeah.
There's no sense of trying to piece this movie together because it's impossible. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Treat it as a comedy and you'll love it.
Mm-hmm.
Even Bob will like it.
Mm-hmm.
Bob? Mm-hmm. We're on to the next movie.
Okay.
All right. Well, the next movie is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Directed by James Gunn. Stars Chris Pratt, Dave Bautista, Kurt Russell, Zoe Saldana, Michael Rooker, Sylvester Stallone, Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper as Rocket, Vin Diesel as Groot, of course, Karen Gillan, Palm Clementieff, Elizabeth Debicki, Sean Gunn, Tommy Flanagan, Larry Haddock, Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie's in this?
Yes.
Seth Green, Ving Rhames, Miley Cyrus, Michael Rosenbaum, Michelle Yeoh, Jeff Goldblum, David Hasselhoff. I don't remember Don Johnson, but okay. Stan Lee, Jimmy Urin, Blondie Baruti, and Luke Cook, and others, I'm sure. So, sequel to the wildly successful Out of Nowhere Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, which redefined the Marvel superhero movie once again. And the cosmic epic, following in the footsteps of Star Wars and other great classic adventure sci-fi movies. What did we think of Guardians Volume 2?
Oh, Bob's going first.
I am? Okay. I liked it as a whole, but I found something missing. Like, I sat there and waited and waited and waited. I'm like, okay, come on, more action. And it never gave me enough. Like, I wanted more, but it never gave me enough of what I wanted. And I'm sitting there going, okay, you're giving me some, but I want more. So I guess this is what I'm saying. Like, there's a conversation between Chris Pratt and Kurt Russell. I'm going, so, what's the point? I know what the point was, but it's just like, I'm going, more. And there wasn't enough, I wanted more action. But the planet they land on, like, it's a beautiful planet. The cinematography of it was great, but more action. Simon?
I agree with you 100%. My biggest problem with this film is there was not enough action for me.
You were actually blasted on Twitter on that one.
Oh, the Don Johnson you're thinking of is a black Don Johnson.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking it up, and it says Raver Uncredited, so it's a black guy named Don Johnson.
Oh.
Like, Miley Cyrus isn't the mainframe computer.
Yeah, she's not actually on screen.
Yeah, my biggest—I got bored in this film. I mean, Kurt Russell's given a lot of dialogue, and it's just not enough action for me. Too much talking, and I mean, I can't stand Zoe Saldana and Dave Bautista on a good day. So you're giving me more Dave Bautista, and more. I'm going to get bored. I don't ever want to see them. All I want to see is Rocket, Groot, and Star-Lord. That's it.
Oh, they finally got Michael Rooker's character of Yondu right.
Well, they had to kill him off.
No. I'm talking about his the Finn they had the last movie. It wasn't like that wasn't what Yondu was in the comics. And then I'm looking at his new Finn because they took the old one, and I'm going, Todd, you got it right.
And what was that guy's stupid name? Turdface or something? Taser face. The funniest scene. Of all the names you thought up, Taser Face? I couldn't stop laughing. I thought that was good.
Neither could Rocket.
I like Rocket. I love Bradley Cooper not trying to act. All he's going to do is voice. It's perfect. I don't have to watch him.
Yeah.
He bugs me sometimes.
Oh.
I usually like Bradley Cooper.
Ving Rhames, I was looking at him going, oh,
I'd rather have Ving Rhames than Dave Bautista.
Oh.
As,
I guess the guy with,
You got every name that's listed there, Bob.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to find it. Where is he?
Kevin, while he's trying to figure this out, what did you
Sylvester
think?
Sylvester Stallone. There.
Stallone was great.
No, the guy with Sylvester Stallone. I guess he was Martin X. The
crystal guy. That was Michael Rosenbaum as Martin X.
Oh, that was him. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I love this movie. I loved it from beginning to end. I didn't find it was lacking in action.
Oh,
I thought it was great in characterization. I thought the jokes hit almost every time.
There you go.
Rocket was amazing. I thought, Rocket's passive aggressiveness and we got to see everybody in a little bit of solo action too. The whole scene with Rocket fighting the Reavers and then, teaming up with Yondu and Little Groot. Little Groot was right from the beginning when they're going to fight that alien creature on the that platform that wants to steal the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And Little Groot plugs in the music and it becomes about something else. It's the joy of Little Groot dancing around while the Guardians are fighting this giant monster in the background. I thought it was brilliant.
I did like that scene. I didn't say I hated this film. There's parts that I liked.
And so many little asides and Easter eggs and fun things hinting at future things to come. Like Sylvester Stallone was Starhawk.
Yes.
Oh, that's who he's supposed to be. Okay.
And Michelle Yeoh was Alita, who used to form the composite being Starhawk with him. And, we had, what's his name? Ving Rhames as Charlie 27, the big blocky guy from Pluto that, there were just, so many little things. And Jeff Goldblum's Grandmaster was in there somewhere.
Oh.
It was just, it was like a love letter to space and Marvel Comics. And to 70s music and to Kurt Russell and I thought Chris Pratt's Star-Lord really wants a father.
He does. His father's an asshole.
And his father is an asshole. His father, the summation of the film is when they're talking about the song Brandy.
Yes. I love that song.
It's played twice, right?
Yes.
Get the flashback at the beginning, and then when they're listening to it together.
One of my favorite songs in the 70s is Brandy.
But it's, he says that basically here a father and son have two completely different perspectives on the situation. Kurt Russell chose the sea. For him, what's important is legacy.
Yeah.
It's, and for Chris Pratt, the woman was the most important thing. That was his mother.
Correct.
So, I thought just great characterization, great little moments.
I agree. I just didn't have enough action for me. I missed those action scenes in the first movie.
There was all sorts of action with the Reavers,
I don't like the Reavers. That was probably my problem.
With that whole race of video game people.
I like that. Like I said, there's parts of it I liked. I thought it was just okay. It just didn't put me... And five ending scenes, really?
What's that?
Five ending scenes at the end I had to sit through?
Yeah, well, there was a whole bunch of origin stuff in there.
Yeah.
Mm. We got to see the origin of the new Yondu.
Yep.
Not off to a rough start. We got to see the original Guardians uniting. Honor their fallen compadre, and I thought Michael Rooker was fantastic.
He was very good, much better than I thought he would be.
Yeah,
usually falls
I'm not a crazy fan of Yondu, but I thought he did a great job. There were kids I was with were crying; they were upset.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, little things like, what else? I mean, what were the other ones?
Howard the Duck.
So Howard the Duck wasn't really an ending.
That was during the movie.
Was it during the movie?
Yeah.
I thought it was at the end screen.
Actually, there was a little smidgen of him at the end.
That's what I thought.
No, there were pictures of him as the credits played.
Yeah, that was it.
Actually, as the credit plays, I saw Chris Pratt and Dave Bautista and all of them dancing. At first, I'm just looking, I'm going, wait a minute, what?
How many people left your theater?
Before the end credits?
Lots, right?
There was about 10.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get this. Don't these people know they have to sit in their asses and watch this shit now?
No.
They should, but...
Some people don't care. I care. I wanted to watch it.
Are you okay, Cal?
A lot of people left when I was there.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think they get it.
But I liked the Teenage Groot.
I love Teenage Groot.
Oh, yeah, Teenage Groot.
Sorry, excuse me.
I am Groot.
That's who we're going to get in, I think, Avengers.
Good.
Human-sized Teenage Groot.
I'm getting a lot of feedback from you. Papers rustling or something?
What's that?
I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Oh, okay, sorry, I was opening some chips.
Okay, then I can hear all the chip opening.
How about this?
Yo, even better. Perfect for a podcast, listening to somebody eat. Love it.
The Stan Lee thing is interesting.
I don't even know if I remember it. Bob, do you remember?
He was with the Watchers, and he was telling them stories.
That's it.
And then they start walking away. He says, wait, how am I going to get back?
He's like, then there was the time I was a FedEx delivery guy.
Yes.
It's basically saying that all of Stan Lee's cameos are intentional. He's like a cosmic being.
Yes, he is a cosmic being. He's 98 or something, still going.
95, yeah.
Still going. He's doing well.
Yeah.
Are we moving on to the tumble down effect?
Oh, the tumble down. Why don't you tell us about the tumble down?
Starring Rebecca Hall, Jason Sudeikis, Leif Tanner, Diane Aragon, and a bunch of people.
No.
I'm not reading all these clowns.
You are reading them.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
They're interesting. I'm reading one more and that's it because I have other things to talk about. Joel Mantaleno, and that's about it. The rest of these people are not needed, but Bob just likes to be.
Griffin Dunn's in that.
Griffin Dunn's her dad.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. The tumble down. Kevin, you trying to kill me?
What do you mean?
This is boring.
No, it was an insightful look into love and relationships.
Was it? I love Rebecca Hall. Love looking at Rebecca Hall. We'll watch all the Rebecca Hall films.
Yeah.
But they're all bad. Because she is such a terrible actress. And then I walk at Jason Sudeikis going, you know what? You know you're not A-list, so you take all these indie movies so you can constantly work. And you show everybody how acting should be done in all your movies. And Joe Montebello, that sex scene he has with Rebecca Hall, it was horribly shot.
Well, yeah.
It was brutal, whoever shot this movie. I'm like, the director's photography should have been fired after that opening scene. It was terrible. Yeah.
I didn't have that issue. To me, I put this movie on in the background while I did some work.
Well,
it wasn't terrible. Basically, her husband was a musician, and he had he's a one-hit wonder kind of guy.
Yeah, and killed himself.
He died somehow. But
well, he died cliff climbing in the dark, so we're pretty sure he killed himself.
Well, but that's what Jason Sudeikis thinks, but everybody else seems to think he just died in an accident.
Yeah, but it was at night, you know, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, but he'd been left behind, and anyway, there are lots of conversations about this from what it means and so forth. It's basically she's been lost and stuck on the getting over the loss of her husband. And moving on, and Sudeikis, who also is interested in her husband, comes in and suddenly becomes a viable romantic interest again. Not just the guy she bangs, which is that Joe Monta, whatever.
Oh, that he's brutal as an actor. Oh, my God, he is just terrible.
And he's territorial and, you know.
He's awful.
He's there for what was that movie, the stripper movie?
Oh,
Magic Mike and all that.
Just awful.
Mm-hmm.
He is beyond terrible. Like, I don't think he can ever act again.
Uh-huh.
Like, every time I see him, my eyes roll in the back of my head. I'm like, you are just eye candy for women.
Uh-huh.
You can't act to save your life. Like I'm bitching about Scarlett Johansson's acting level. And I think she has talent at times. He has none. Zero.
No.
Absolutely forming a sentence might be difficult for this man, I think.
Right.
Oh, just awful. Yeah, the tumble down, I actually, you would love this. I had to babysit a friend's kid, so they were sleeping, so I was just watching the movie. I had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So I sat and watched the tumble down.
Mm-hmm.
Painful, Kevin. Painful.
I didn't hate it, but I wouldn't say it was a great movie.
But it was so evident what was going to happen. It was like they were telling us, oh, look, she's single, lonely, needs a man. Jason Sudeikis, they're not going to get along. He's going to do some stupid things.
But I like that there wasn't really... Other people assumed there was something romantic, but they didn't think there was anything romantic between them.
I didn't think so either.
Till it hits.
Yes, and then it works, kind of. But, I mean, I think it was pretty predictable, this film, from beginning to end.
And when she gets the kid that takes the romantic trips with the girls on the snowmobile?
Yes, I liked him.
That was funny.
And he offered to take her.
Mm-hmm.
That was cute. I think this is your right. It's a movie you put on, you do other things during.
Yeah.
You don't really have to pay much attention to it. But I do like Jason Sudeikis as an actor.
Right.
And I did like him in Colossus, I watched recently a lot too, but I hope you'll get to that one point.
I even liked him in Vacation.
Yes, he's great. Christina Applegate's torture.
Oh, wait. He wasn't in Vacation, it was the other guy.
Oh, right? Ed Helms.
Yeah, all right, I mix those two up a lot.
Well, they look the same, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on.
Walk all right, what's next on the list?
Walk of Shame, directed by Stephen Brill. Brill?
Oh.
Starring, whatever her name is, Elizabeth Banks. And Cyclops.
Yes.
James Marsden, and that's pretty much about it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Kevin
Nealon. Oh, you have the list? Oh, I didn't see that. Kevin Nealon, Jillian Jacobs, Bill Burr's in this?
Bill Burr's in this.
I didn't know who Bill Burr was back then.
Well, yeah.
So what did you think of The Walk of Shame? I saw this about 3 years ago.
Right.
And I felt like having a walk of shame after watching it.
I'm having a walk of shame describing my feelings about it.
Because I told you, when you said you're going to watch it, I'm like, don't do it.
It was on there. I had to see it. Elizabeth Banks is an attractive woman.
She's smoking hot. Let's be honest.
I will watch her in a tight dress running around for a couple hours. Sure. Yeah. No, this movie sucks. There's no redeeming value to it. It's just freaking garbage. Are you there?
Absolutely a terrible film.
He's here.
Oh, you guys have disappeared.
No, I'm back. Relax. I just had to do something for Bob. Yeah, it's just terrible. I mean, the woman is gorgeous. And you're just like, why did you make this film? I mean,
right.
I think she has Joe Montebello syndrome. You stink. You're just a horrible actress.
Paycheck movies.
She does paycheck movies, so does he. And yep. Just getting to the point going, I've had enough of you. I mean, you're beautiful. Just do Maximum Magazine shoots or something. Like, you know, like, move on. She went into directing. She directed Pitch Perfect 2.
Oh, great.
You know, I was kind of like, I didn't really see anything in Pitch Perfect 2 look like a directing. It looks like she just pointed the camera and shot.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really see much in that either. Yeah, Walk of Shame is just painful. I think I made my top 10 worst of the year. That year. It's just a terrible film. And then looking at her, there's nothing else to do with this film. You could put this on, do the dishes, and just put it on mute.
Yeah.
You're totally fine.
Her friends were pretty.
Her friends are very cute, too, yes. When you look like that, you would have cute friends.
Uh-huh. Bob, did you see it?
No.
Okay, you'd like it.
He would love it. He would make the Bob list.
You could offer a counterpoint.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What's next then?
What was it on? Netflix?
It's on Netflix. Yeah. No. You have my copy. I gave it to you 3 years ago.
Oh.
You have it.
All right.
Moving on.
It's not 3 years old, this movie, is it?
Yeah, it's 3 years old. I think it's 2014. Oh, it's But Bob has on the list.
Well, I asked one of you, I said 2014 with a lot of question marks, because there's a few versions of it, and I didn't know which one it was. So I said, okay, I'll pick that one.
Well, if you've got all these cast members on it, then that's the right film.
Well, because I picked that one.
Then
I
perfect,
picked the right
2014.
One.
Okay, moving on. The Loft, Kevin.
The what?
The Loft, directed by Eric Van Loopy.
Louis.
Carl Urban, James Marsden, Wentworth Miller, Eric Stone Street.
Matthias Schoenaerts. Isabel Lucas, Valerie Cruz, Rachel Taylor, Kristen Lemon, Rona Mitra, Robert Wisdom, Rick Wright, Katie Deitch, Julianne Doan, Taylor Newman, Aspen Steeb, Graham Williams, Logan Douglas Smith, John C. Klein, Jay Oliver, Kim Armiston, and Eric Dickinson as Zoe's friend, according to IMDb.
Wow,
that's a lot of no names.
So basically, one guy's an architect.
Yes, Eric Stone Street.
And he manages to convince his friends, his three buddies, or whatever, four buddies, to come in and buy a loft apartment with him.
Yeah.
So that they can have a play space in the downtown.
Yeah.
Kind of the apartment, like the idea of a space where you could take, if you were cheating, you could take your girlfriend. Or if you just wanted to have a place downtown to party or crash.
Correct.
So. Who's the female lead? The one that
dies?
I don't know. The one that ends up being
Rachel Taylor, isn't it? Again, I saw this when it came out. I'll look it up for you.
So it starts with one guy coming back to the loft, and he finds a corpse in the bed.
Correct.
Right? And then we are trying to figure out who did it. And I'm not sure I actually cared who did it.
You really don't.
No. By the time it gets to the reveal, I'm like, okay. And there's a whole bunch of weird stuff going on. Like Wentworth Miller is in love with Carl Urban. And, you know, there's weird stuff that is not. I don't even remember. All I know, I think, is that Carl Urban's
responsible. Correct. Bob didn't put him on the list for some reason. But
yes, I did.
If you Carl look Urban's. Oh, Carl Urban's
what
the architect.
Look, what's the first name on there? What's the first name?
Carl Urban.
Thank
my
you.
Staple's covering it. It's hard to read it.
Your staple is not covering it. It's right there.
Okay. I'm good going. I'm trying to find out who the murder
is. I put as many names on it as possible.
The murder victim is Isabel Lucas.
Okay.
This movie is just horrible. Like, I thought it had a great premise. I thought it was going to be a little dark, but it just never got interesting.
Trying to be very Hitchcock and succeeding poorly.
I absolutely agree with you. I wish it did more. Because I was looking forward to this. But it did nothing for me. I wish it did. It's just another one of those run-of-the-mill films. You're just like, why was this made?
Right.
You know, I guess people have extra money. Maybe they could give it to us. For the podcast. And then they have something entertaining to listen to.
For sure.
And they could do stuff in the background and we won't be upset.
They could eat chips.
They could eat chips. They could watch baseball. Lots of options.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's move on to another pile of crap.
What's that?
Nine Lives.
No, De Palma.
Oh, De Palma's next. I'm sorry. De Palma.
A documentary about De Palma.
I was pissed when I missed this coming out. Never had time to see it.
Uh-huh.
And really wanted to see this movie. I'm directed by Noah Baumbach and Jake Paltrow.
Yeah.
Starring Brian De Palma. Oh, my God, this was fascinating. Absolutely love this.
I agree. De Palma is a very interesting filmmaker, and I love a lot of his movies. So
there weren't many I hadn't seen in the doc. There were a few of them I hadn't seen. But I love how we discussed the starring, how they shot it, issues with the film, funding.
Yeah.
Like, I want this done for every director I've ever liked.
Yeah.
Like, I love to see Fincher sit down and do one of these for, like, hours. I could watch this for 3 hours and find it. They even went more depth.
Yeah.
I like how we discussed scene layouts. I like how we discussed what they were looking for. I like how he worked in his personal life at the time.
Yeah.
Like, I never knew he was married to Galahad Hurd. I didn't know he was dating the chick from RoboCop.
He married her for a while there. He was in a very serious relationship with her.
Nancy Allen. Absolutely, yeah. I would recommend this to anybody. Absolutely fascinating. This would
have been like four or five of his movies. She was in Carrie. She was in...
this would have made my top 10 list if I had actually seen it last year.
Well, the thing is, you know what? When I look back and I think quite a lot of De Palma movies are high up on my list of favorite movies. So it's kind of interesting to go back and look because there are clunkers for sure. But even the clunkers are interesting.
Oh, they're beautifully shot.
Like, Phantom of the Paradise is a favorite of mine.
Which I've not seen. Bob's been asking me to watch it a couple times. What? Phantom of the Paradise I've never seen.
I'm shocked you have never seen it.
Oh, maybe Kevin has then.
She's been let go. But she's still on there for
him. You know, Carrie, Body Double, all those movies are great. You know, a movie that I think is fantastic, which is kind of never brought up a lot, is Femme Fatale.
You love that film. He didn't discuss it in the doc either.
Yeah.
Which I think they should have.
He kind of glosses over it.
Yeah, which I didn't want. I love the Scarface. When he gets into Scarface and Untouchables.
Yeah, Untouchables.
Johnny,
oh, man.
And that scene, he goes, Donnie Brasco? Donnie, what's the movie? He's talking about Al shooting on the train?
Yeah, Donnie Brasco.
Donnie Brasco. Fascinating. Riveting. Yeah. Like, absolutely a must-see for film watchers, I'd say, this film.
Yeah.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Uh-huh. No, highly recommended. I would put it up there with that room about that room 222 or whatever it is, the Shining one.
Yes, another excellent one. But that was one I wish Kubert was still alive and they could have done one of these with him. Or Hitchcock. Or the guy that did The Apartment. James, forgetting him. But I don't know. We'll see. Ingmar Bergman. Yeah. There's so many ones I would love to have seen. Jonathan Demme. Somebody died recently. I would have watched that.
Uh-huh.
Doing Silent of the Lambs.
Uh-huh.
That would have been interesting. Okay. Moving on.
I would say that there was a series that came out in the, I would say, the late 80s, early 90s called The Directors.
Yeah.
Which did exactly what you're asking for.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up then.
And it was interviews with the directors and a filmography. It wasn't as in-depth as this one was, but it was sort of in the same vein.
Okay, I'll look for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving on.
What's that?
Nine Lives.
Oh, do we have to?
Yeah, we can go over quickly. Come on, it's got Jennifer Garner, Robbie Amell, and Kevin Spacey, and Christopher Walken.
So Kevin Spacey's turned into a cat.
And Cheryl Hines and Melinda Weissman, Mark Consuelos, Teddy Sears.
Oh, and from Flash.
Oh, God, yeah, it's from Flash. I forgot. From last season of Flash. Yeah. This is a flaming pile of crap, is what this is.
Yep.
I'm seeing the end of Kevin Spacey.
Yep.
I'm like, he now has nothing
else. House of Cards or Nine Lives? So, let's do Nine Lives.
Yeah, that's super. My daughter wanted to see this, and I said no. But, of course, I watched it without her.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm a masochist myself.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken needed a paycheck, obviously. That's why he's in this.
Uh-huh.
Jennifer Garner shows up, I know it's going to be horrible. She is just terrible.
Yeah.
She went from A-list to life on what film are you in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And but I hate to feel bad. Katherine Heigl's a step below that, going, we don't even care what movie you're in.
Yeah.
Which, we got to watch your new Katherine Heigl film still we haven't seen yet. Nine Lives is just so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, watch your, should I eat that cat food? I need some scotch. I'll go get some scotch.
Yeah.
And him trying to bond with his daughter, I'm just like, oh, this is little kid movies.
Yeah.
Like, and they didn't even want to see it because their parents couldn't sit through this crap.
Huh.
It was just so bad. Absolutely bad.
I won't argue with you. It was garbage.
You have nothing. Garbage. Come on, Mark Lucero was the bad guy, wasn't he?
Who was the bad guy in that movie?
Either Robbie Amell or Mark Consuelos. I can't remember.
No, Robbie Amell was the loyal son.
Okay, then it was Mark Consuelos. And the evil cat gets him in the end and he jumps off the roof at him.
Uh-huh.
That's so bad.
Bob, did you see it?
No.
It's a real perfect Bob movie.
You like it.
And think we're all crazy.
Okay, moving on.
I know.
Moving on, War Dogs.
Another one I haven't seen.
Bob hasn't seen it. Directed by Todd Phillips. Starring Jonah Hill, Miles Teller, Steve Lance. I'm reading Bob's list. Kevin Pollak.
Uh-huh.
Bradley Cooper.
You're not reading the whole list.
I'm not reading the whole list. I'm reading the highlights.
You should read the list.
You can. Right. When you do it. What did you think of War Dogs, Kev?
That's not my job.
You know what? I didn't hate it. I thought it was okay.
I laughed so hard during this film at times.
I thought Jonah Hill playing Jonah Hill.
Perfectly.
Reed Richards there, he was kind of baffled and went along with it. But, you know, the scene when they're trying to, you know, when they go through the, whatever it is, the part of the desert that they call something of hell.
Oh.
And they make it through and they're like, wow, you drove through that? Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I love the Iraq scene.
Mm-hmm.
When they drive through Iraq. Put your head down!
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was crying. This film made me laugh so many times.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. From them getting the contract, to the end of the film, to the Bradley Cooper scene. I think it all works for me.
I like Bradley Cooper in this movie.
I do too.
And I like that, you know, that final scene that he has with him. Where, you know, he basically says, you know what, the only reason you're still alive is because I kind of liked you.
Yeah. I like you that, know? Though.
That was good.
I thought that was great.
I thought, you know, I watched it. It was on TMN, and I thought, oh, well, I'll watch this and see what it's like. And you know what? It's not – I wouldn't rush it. I'm glad I didn't rush out and see it in the theaters or anything like that. But it's a good, solid movie-at-home kind of film.
But I think Tom Phillips does good comedy. I mean, I like the first Hangover film. The other two sunk. But I think his comedy is well-paced. I think he knows what to do.
Yeah.
Like, you won't see him directing Walk of Shame 2.
No.
Which I like that about him.
Yeah.
Okay, we're almost out of time. We have two movies, or we can do three movies, or we can do what we bought, which you guys want to do.
What's the next movie?
We have Sirens, Wedding Date, and About Last Night. And you got 7 to 10 at 15.
I don't remember Sirens.
Okay.
You're lucky.
Is that the one with they're in Australia?
Hugh Grant.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, I remember the sirens are pretty.
Okay, open the vault, intern. Sirens, directed by John Doogie?
Dugan?
Hugh Grant, Sam Neill, Alan McPherson, Tara McFitzgerald, Portia de Rosa, Ben Mendelsohn. Ben Mendelsohn is in this? I missed it?
Uh-huh.
My God, I totally missed him. Some people I don't know. I tried hard to like this film. Tried so hard to get into it. But it just never felt it got going.
No, I as I recall, it starts strong and then it just never really goes anywhere.
That's correct.
Hugh Grant's a missionary.
Yes, that's the movie.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember it being very good. I remember that Elle McPherson and Portia are quite attractive.
Portia doesn't get topless. Ellen does, and so does Tara Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, where is this going? And it never goes anywhere.
No.
It just sits there, and it's just like, okay, are we going somewhere? Nope, not going to go there. Let's just go back to where we started. And I just felt they were rewinding the film, changing the scene. Oh, let's shoot the film this way. And it just felt hours and hours of this. And, of course, each person has a different problem every 20 minutes.
I seem to recall it got some buzz at the time because Hugh Grant was just, he was hot after Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yes, and that's why this movie got made, I think.
Yeah, and it just, no, it's not good.
Bob, you saw Sirens.
I saw it when it originally came out, and then when you gave it to me, I saw it again. I'm going, yeah, I remember how bad this was, because I didn't like it the first time it came out, but I was like, I thought, well, it's sitting here in my pile of movies, I might as well watch it. So I did, and I thought, why did I watch this again? I hated it the first time, and I hated it the second time.
You're like, why did I not remember
why
this?
Why did I not remember this?
Uh-huh. Kevin, you ever see, okay, let's do the last movie quickly. The Wedding Date. We're not going to do that one.
All right.
We'll do it next time.
Okay.
The Wedding Date, directed by Claire Kilner, starring Dermot Mulroney, Deborah Messing, Amy Adams, Jack Davenport, who I love, Sarah Parrish, Peter Egan, and Holland Taylor. Have you seen this, Kevin?
No, I don't think I have.
This was
in 2005, so it was 12 years ago.
I picked this up at a garage sale because I have a weird Deborah Messing fetish. Always.
I'm actually surprised I never saw it before.
So one night I was out, and I just felt like something light. It's the only way I can describe it. So I thought, oh, I'll just watch this. I can do something else. I love this film, Kevin.
I was surprised. Really? When we talked about this, you liked it?
It made me laugh. It was quirky. It followed all the basic rom-com things. And it worked for me.
But this is a Bob movie. This is not a side movie.
This is a Bob movie, and I wish I could. Man, this was a perfect date movie. Where was I in 2005 not seeing this in theater? It works for me. Amy Adams works well. Deborah Messing. Dermot Mulroney is such a good actor.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I love Jack Davenport. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's cliched. It falls.
Well, now it's cliched. It's 12 years.
But I loved it. You would like this.
I actually saw it twice. I saw it once, and then I had to see it again because I saw it with someone else.
I couldn't shock how much I like this film.
I took it over to someone's house, and we watched it again.
Your girlfriend, she like it?
She loved it.
Great. See what I mean? It's a great film.
Not so much anymore.
So, Kev, I'm recommending this to you on Netflix.
I probably have seen it.
Okay. It's got a young Amy Adams in it, so...
I recognized her and I thought, that's got to be Amy Adams. And then I looked at it.
Oh, 100% it's Amy Adams. Yeah. So, do you want to hear what I bought at garage sales or no?
What did you buy?
I bought the Warriors for 50 cents.
Oh, wow.
I picked up a whole stack, and this is all I could find on one rainy weekend. Because they were supposed to have a street sale, but it was pouring rain, so everybody was in their garage. So it's truly a garage sale. Okay, I picked up Miss Evers Boys.
Yeah.
Alfre Woodard, I've never seen it. And somebody paid 2 for $10 at Walmart for this and never opened it.
Oh, wow, what a deal. All
right, so 50 cents for me. Fiddler on the Roof. Reversal of Fortune, because I always feel I should see this movie.
Right.
Whatever happened to Ron Silver? I think he died, though.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Some movie called Neverways with Aaron Eckhart, Brittany Murphy, William Hurt, and Nick Nolte.
Never was.
Wow.
Lords of the Dogtown, Emile Hirsch, Heath Ledger, another Heath Ledger movie I haven't seen, which there's not many left.
Yeah.
And I can't go wrong with Natural Enemy with Donald Sutherland, Leslie Ann Warren, Tina Carrere, which I have to see it. Because she's just awful at everything. And Joe Pantoliano, who I love. Prizzi's Honor, but I've never seen it. But this was the pickup, The Death of a Cheerleader with Tori Spelling, the true story reenactment.
No.
Somebody bought this for real money.
What did Bob get?
I'm not
finished yet.
I picked up The Great Debaters. I never knew Cher did a movie called Tea with Mussolini. You ever seen this, Kevin?
No.
Jack Nicholson movie called The Pledge with Sam Shepard, Vanessa Redgrave, Robin Wright Penn, Helen Mirren, Aaron Eckhart. Ever heard of it? And Sex Lies and Videotape.
I've seen that movie. That's so bad.
And I've always meant to watch Sex, Lies, and Videotape. It's always on, I need to watch that at some point.
That's so bad.
And that's it for me at 50 cents. Bob?
I don't think I bought anything. I can't remember.
Okay, Cap, what about you? Anything?
Well, I got Teen Titans.
Judas Contract.
Did you pick up Vixen?
What?
Did you pick up the Vixen movie?
No.
Okay.
I got the Mummy collection.
Does it have the original 1934 in it?
No.
So we're just doing 1 to 3 with Brendan Fraser then.
And the Scorpion King.
Okay.
And so basically I got it because it was $25 and it had all four movies with iTunes digital copies.
So, okay, so you pick up your DVDs. You ever open them or you just download the digitals, right?
I just now download the digitals, so I'm probably going to watch a couple of the Mummy movies on my trip.
Where are you off to?
I'm off to Orlando this weekend
for MegaCon. Last year.
That's where I died last year, yeah.
All right, twice now.
Yeah, I got to make sure I'm at. So.
Yeah, you got to stay away from nuts, buddy. Anything.
No. Shellfish.
Oh, shellfish. Sorry, shellfish.
Yes, I'll try not to be shellfish.
Okay. Is that it? Anybody else got anything else? We're done?
We do it. I don't think I got anything else. Oh, I got Under the Cherry Moon and Graffiti Bridge.
I've seen Under the Cherry Moon years ago, but I've never seen Graffiti Bridge.
I started watching Under the Cherry Moon, and the copy screwed up, so I don't know if I'll ever finish it. A Graffiti Bridge, I put it in, and I had to put it off. It was that bad.
I've never heard of it, so.
It's the sequel to Purple Rain.
Oh, then I've definitely never seen it.
And it's just basically 15 years later or whatever, and the kid has his own club, and Morris Day runs a whole fleet of clubs.
Okay, cool. Maybe we'll see it. If you finish it, I will watch it, I promise.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll force you guys to watch it, so.
Okay. I'm Simon.
Kevin.
Intern.
And if they make it?
Simon makes me watch it over again.
To contact us, please email at extrafeatures@gmail.com and join us at our Facebook page.